The shepherds have gone, so's the heavenly choir. A man known as Joseph reflects by the fire. The mother is still now, the child by her side. In silence he watches them sleep. And he marvels and wonders at what he beholds. For centuries what priests and prophets foretold, whom kings will bring gifts of rare spices and gold, all on a Bethlehem morn.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. We'll continue in song now with hymn number 123. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Joseph, the receptive and obedient man. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. Exodus. God spake all these words, saying, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Deuteronomy. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones, that they die. Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Luke, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Deuteronomy. And the Lord said, Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I now shall read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Mortal man is sentenced to be tortured until he is dead. Swift on the wings of divine love, there comes a dispatch. Delay the execution. The prisoner is not guilty. Some exclaim, it is contrary to law and justice. Others say, the law of Christ supersedes our laws. Let us follow Christ. Joseph, a corporeal mortal, a higher sense of truth, rebuking mortal belief or error, and showing the immortality and supremacy of truth. The notion that animal natures can possibly give force to character is too absurd for consideration. Grace and truth are potent beyond all other means and methods. Marriage is the legal and moral provision for generation among humankind. Infidelity to the marriage covenant is the social scourge of all races. The commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, is no less imperative than the one, thou shalt not kill. union of the masculine and feminine qualities constitutes completeness. The masculine mind reaches a higher tone through certain elements of the feminine, while the feminine mind gathers courage and strength through masculine qualities. These different elements conjoin naturally with each other, and their true harmony is in spiritual oneness. Both sexes should be loving, pure, tender, and strong. The attraction between native qualities will be perpetual only as it is pure and true. The beautiful in character is also the good, welding indissolubly the links of affection. Marriage should improve the human species, becoming a barrier against vice, a protection to women, strength to man, and a center for the affections. Husbands and wives should never separate if there is no Christian demand for it. It is better to await the logic of events than for a wife precipitately to leave her husband, or for a husband to leave his wife. The nuptial vow should never be annulled so long as its moral obligations are kept intact. If we wish to follow Christ, truth, it must be in the way of God's appointing. Man cannot love God supremely and set his whole affection on spiritual things while loving the material or trusting in it more than in the spiritual. We must forsake the foundation of material systems, however time-honored, if we would gain the Christ as our only Savior. The human thought must free itself from self-imposed materiality and bondage. The first duty is to obey God, to have one mind, and to love another as yourself. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. At present, mortals progress slowly for fear of being thought ridiculous. They are slaves to fashion, pride, and sense. Sometime we shall learn how Spirit, the great architect, has created men and women in science. We ought to weary of the fleeting and false, and to cherish nothing which hinders our highest selfhood. Proportionately as human generation ceases, the unbroken links of eternal, harmonious being will be spiritually discerned, and man, not of the earth, earthly, but coexistent with God, will appear. The scientific fact that man and the universe are evolved from spirit, and so are spiritual, is as fixed in divine science as is the proof that mortals gain the sense of health only as they lose the sense of sin and disease. Mortals can never understand God's creation while believing that man is a creator. God's children, already created, will be cognized only as man finds the truth of being. Thus it is that the real, ideal man appears in proportion as the false and material disappears. Follow the behests of God, abiding steadfastly in wisdom, truth, and love. Scientific thoughts are true thoughts, passing from God to man. Angels, God's thoughts passing to man, spiritual intuitions, pure and perfect, the inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. Spirit is symbolized by strength, presence, and power, and also by holy thoughts winged with love. These angels of His presence, which have the holiest charge, abound in the spiritual atmosphere of mind, and consequently reproduce their own characteristics. Their individual forms we know not, but we do know that their natures are allied to God's nature, and spiritual blessings, thus, are the externalized, yet subjective states of faith and spiritual understanding. Angels are God's representatives. These upward-soaring beings never lead towards self, sin, or materiality, but guide to the divine principle of all good, whether every real individuality, image, or likeness of God gathers. By giving earnest heed to these spiritual guides, they tarry with us, and we entertain angels unawares. Who is telling mankind of the foe in ambush? Is the informer one who sees the foe? If so, listen and be wise. Escape from evil and designate those as unfaithful stewards who have seen the danger and yet have given no warning. Know thyself, and God will supply the wisdom and the occasion for a victory over evil. Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. We should become more familiar with good than with evil, and guard against false beliefs as watchfully as we bar our doors against the approach of thieves and murderers. If mortals would keep proper ward over mortal mind, the brood of evils which infest it would be cleared out. The history of Christianity furnishes sublime proofs of the supporting influence and protecting power bestowed on man by his heavenly Father, omnipotent mind, who gives man faith and understanding whereby to defend himself not only from temptation, but from bodily suffering. As a material basis is found to be a misapprehension of existence, the spiritual and divine principle of man dawns upon human thought and leads it to where the young child was, even to the birth of a new old idea, to the spiritual sense of being and of what life includes. Thus, the whole earth will be transformed by truth on its pinions, chasing away the darkness of error. Spiritually, to understand that there is but one creator, God, unfolds all creation.
King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords,
and he shall
reign.
Hallelujah.